Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Caitlin with Arts and Entertainment.
And good morning to you, Caitlin. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Happy Australia Day to you.
Happy day to you too.
Now, tell us what you think about it, because that's what we're doing this morning, is asking everyone what they have to say on the
issue. Yes, I'm inclined to agree with Greg. I definitely
think
that
you agree with him now, yep.
Australia Day should be a day where every Australian can celebrate it.
Yep, and you don't believe that's possible on January 26th and the date should be moved?
I don't know if... I definitely just don't think that today's the day for it. But I couldn't... Yeah, I'm like that. I couldn't, you know, tell you... I'm being very politically correct about this.
Yes.
I could not tell you what day
fair enough
to celebrate it. But yes, I do feel today's more of a day that I feel for Indigenous Australians, and that I just think, you know, that... I think the thing is that when we're kind of confronted, when the people are confronted about bad things that have happened in our past, you know, people don't get too happy about that.
Yep.
And I just think that, you know, do we really need to celebrate today? I mean, what is there? Triple J and a barbecue, you know.
But we can give thanks to the nation in its current form.
I suppose,
for
yes.
For all the prosperity
it's provided
us. I'd
rather give thanks on the days that, you know, aren't reminded about all the atrocities that have occurred to Indigenous Australians.
All right. Now, what text have you brought in with you today?
I have brought in My Brilliant Friend by Eleanor Ferrante. I don't know if I've said that correctly, but we'll just roll with it.
Yep.
And this was given to me by a friend who listens into this show. So I hope he likes this this kind of review. It was really great. So Eleanor Ferrante is this Italian author who is like revered and quite well known. It's strange because this book is like really great and has won a lot of awards, and yet no one knows about it really. Mm. But in saying that, so it was written in Italian and it's been kind of, you know, translated to English. And it's essentially, it's the first in a trilogy, and it is kind of following these two best friends in 1950s Naples in Italy, and they're kind of growing up in a very kind of poor neighbourhood. And, I mean, this is a very broad overview of what this book is about.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of about their friendship and how they kind of grow up together. So that's a very like basic kind of overview of what this book is about. The thing that I really liked about it is that is the way that she's written it. Now, I know that we lose some things when you know, a text is translated.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I love it because she doesn't really follow any rules, like any kind of literary rules when it comes to writing, which makes me feel really confident about if I was to ever sit down and write a book, because I would have no idea about any rules, like, you know, show, don't tell and things like
yep.
that. And she kind of throws that all out the window. She introduces people left, right and center. I mean, there's a list of people at the front of characters that, you know, from the teachers to the Solaro family who own the bar pastry shop. And it's just like a list of characters at the front so that you can help, like, not get confused, because she just brings them in. They don't even have to have kind of an impact on the narrative at all.
Right.
It's just they're there and then they're not. So I love that. And what it has actually done is that it's created a narrative that is very honest, very kind of acute in the way that it addresses certain topics that happens. And I think the great thing about it is that it's so universal. I mean, I know it's in Italy and it's in the 1950s and it was quite violent and scary, I suppose, but, you know, when you strip that back, that could be applied to men in another country, or, you know, women in another country at a different time or period. So a really kind of, I think that's one of the things about it. It's slow moving, it's a slow pace, but as it kind of goes on, it really picks up and you get really enthralled in this friendship between Eleanor and Lila, and the way that it's so honest and they talk about each other or reflect on each other's friendships, and, you know, one's jealous of the other or, you know, wants to be as strong or things like that. And I really Yeah, I just think it's a really great text. I mean, it says on the front by New York Times, one of the great novelists of our time. And the thing I love about it is that she refuses to kind of come out and show her public self. So I don't even know if that's her real name.
Right.
No one really knows who she is. She refuses to kind of be public about her identity because she feels that the book speaks for itself. And anything that you want to say as an author should be written in the text, so you don't need to have, like, her as a figure to focus on.
Yeah.
The book says it all.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to read the next few. There's quite a few in the... I believe it's a trilogy, but I think there's a fourth one, so now I feel like maybe it's broken out of that.
What do you call a is it a quadrilogy?
A series.
Series.
I would say, yeah.
And what would you say are some of the themes that the book best touches on?
You know, friendship, life, death. It's a real kind of, I suppose, capture of life, I suppose. Mm. You know, people kind of come in and out, and there's this really kind of haunting passage about death and, you know, and all the death that you kind of see in life, like, you know, your neighbor's friend dies or will, things like that. So I think it's a really kind of harrowing but very honest portrayal of what life is like for everybody, and the sorrows, but then also the joys that come from that.
Well, that's an absolutely fantastic review that you've done there. Very comprehensive. I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, Mitch.
And score out of 10?
Definitely 8.
8 out of 10. Fantastic. Now, it does sound interesting. It does sound like a bit of an honest reflection about relationships between people and what friendship means. And, being jealous, that sounds like an interesting angle.
Well, you know, I definitely feel like that crops up in a friendship and things like that. There are times where, I mean... If you're being really honest with yourself, I'm sure that there are times where you're like, I'm a little bit, you know, jealous by what they have. But at the same time, you obviously, that is more overwhelmed by how proud you are and things like that. But
correct.
I definitely think that these moments happen between best friends.
Yeah.
Specifically, friends like this where it's almost like you become sisters.
Mm, yep, no, that's really good food for thought in that book, so fantastic work. And, of course, that Netflix series that you talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I was going to ask you, how'd you go?
I've certainly watched a couple more episodes because I've been very busy. I had to go to, well, I didn't have to, but I went to Canberra over the weekend.
Yes, this is Making a Murderer for anyone
that's
wondering.
That's right. But I did notice that has started to get a bit more traction now in the media. Like, I've been seeing articles about it on various news websites. And
I told you, it's becoming, like, it's a really
it is. It is. And as I was saying to the listeners before, you sort of got onto it before it's really taken off from what I've seen in the news. So
I think it was starting to take off when I watched it.
You heard it here first, I think.
Oh, okay. Yes, you heard it here first.
That's
right. This is the place where it all started.
But I'm even seeing things like memes coming out about it now. So it's just, it's incredible. I'm looking forward to getting stuck into the remainder of the series and I will come back to you. But now they're already talking about a counter-documentary going from the angle of the people that are being accused of being biased in the current documentary.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that they were approached.
Yep.
You know, they were approached for their commentary. I think one actually did do an extensive interviewing with the documentary makers, and then when it came to signing the release form was like, no, you can't use it. So I definitely think that they would have had their idea, because actually what they do is they show a lot of their journalists interviewing them, which I don't know if you've seen
yet. I would love to see the other side. I'd love to see what that counter-documentary has to offer, because then I think we can make up our own minds. I'd
exactly.
be very interested
and I
in that.
That's what I mean. I think that's what I said at the start, though. I don't know if it's about if he's guilty or not.
Just more the conduct.
It's more the conduct of how it was done, and I suppose the fact that he was never innocent until proven guilty, which is the basis of their justice system.
Well said. Well, we have to leave it there, but I'll see you again next week.
No worries. See
Thank you very much. Caitlin there with Arts and Entertainment. Greg's warming up next door. He's with you straight after the 11 o'clock news. I'm back on Monday from 9, but Dennis Scanlon back tomorrow as well on the Pulse, so tune in for that.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.